He said, in the day of his power, his people will be willing. Amen. I want us to open with that song, I'm pressing on the upward way. Say, new heights I'm gaining every day. Amen. Are we pressing on? We're batching on. Amen. And the Bible says, the gates of hell will not prevail. Hallelujah. We're taking the battle to the gates. You don't know this song? I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I upward rise. Lord, plant my feet on higher. It's a prayer. Amen. Let me stand my faith on the unstable land. Higher plane I have found. Love plant my faith on higher ground. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on the upward way. New eyes I'm gaining, need every day. Still praying on high onward ground. Love plant my feet on my faith on earth, most stable land. Higher place I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, plant my feet. Lord, we bless your name. Our prayer, our cry is, Lord, plant our feet on higher ground. Except you draw us, no man can come to you. So Lord, we say with every breath that we take, draw us nearer to you. The songwriter said, even if it is a cross that raised me, Lord, draw me nearer to you. Nearer to you, my God. We ask, O God, that you will set man aside. Let the Spirit of Christ, the mind of Christ, Lord, bring the seed, bring the bread, bring the wine, bring the fresh waters, bring the rivers of life. Let it flow over our soul. Let it bring an enriching. Visit the wilderness. Visit the dry places. Say, this river, wherever it goes, everything that is dead will be made alive. Let this river run, my God, and seek out all the dead places, all the dryness, and bring fruitfulness, bring a refreshing. Quench our thirst.
Amen.
Blessed be your name, Lord. So that you will make bright clouds and bring showers upon everyone grass in the field. Let there be a visitation unto everyone, both speaker and hearer.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
It has been a learning session for me, learning from you, from your worship, and you know, these are the best days to be alive, because God is doing a new thing in the church. Last Sunday we began by, we did a little bit of review, just trying to pick up the pieces, where the church has been, you know. And yesterday we looked a little bit into the spiritual dimensions of the things. Bible says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So today, by the Spirit, we will try to just bring two of them together and tidy it out, with much looking into the scriptures. You know, I'm not the shouting type, I'm the scripture type. Amen. You know, in the house of God, there are different flavors, so we come differently. Amen. You know, so my burden is on the foundations. You know, my burden is on the foundations. When you're building a house, if you're doing well, he's a civil engineer. Is he civil or mechanical?
Civil.
Civil, good. Yeah. So it's in your territory. If you're doing a civil work, building a skyscraper, I think they say you go as deep as you're going to go up. You know, so if you're going to do a 40 feet, you must go that length down, or even more. And you know, when you're going down, it's like nothing's happening. If you have built a house, where we have built our own house, we are still building. If you come, it's still, there are still things we haven't done. You know, so we're taking it, you know, in our stride. We are God's house. So God is building us. Somebody even spent 46 years to build a house. Do you understand that? You know, the great temple in Jerusalem. How many years are you? 4-6 years to build a house. But God is building a house for 6,000 years. Do you understand? So God is building a house. We are God's house. Amen.
Amen.
So you can say you are not an abandoned project. You know, I cannot be an abandoned project. So every day he's adding a block, he's building. Amen. So we're moving forward. Hallelujah. You know, so because of this, of how important this building is, the foundations are important. In our common experience in the church, the foundations sometimes are shaking and weak, and you know, and now we are running into a storm. You know, we have, you know, the world is coming into a time of trouble. I hope you are aware. You know, and so if you are doing that, you know, you have to dig deeper. So let me open with that thought in Matthew, um, Let's open with that thought in Matthew 7. I see some of you don't have a writing material, so I assume you have a note on your phone where you take, you know, because you have to write, you have to take down something. So when you go back, you read your notes, you study. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Amen. So I assume that you will not take what I'm saying. You go back and check and see if it is so. If it is so, you take it. If it's not, throw it out. That's the standard, you know, way of fellowship. Amen. So you don't take what I'm saying. You go back and check. See, the Berean Christians, they went and checked. How would you check if you didn't write it down? You know? So you say yes, you remember, but out of the door, you only remember 10% in the few minutes to following. So that's standard. So that's why when you go for your lecture, you write notes. By the way, I hope you know there's a difference between reading and studying. Because some of you don't make good grades because you read, you don't study. I don't know where I'm going this way now.
Very important.
There's a difference between reading and studying. You know, and some of us don't make top grades because we read. And because we read, the top grades belong to those who study and not those who read. So the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. He says some people say, go and spy the land. He says, write it in a book. He's there, Jeremiah, Isaac. He's there. They wrote, Joshua, he brought a book. They wrote down the report. You know? So you must study. Let me just deal with that in a few minutes. Now, when you read, when you study, when you read the matter, you just read through. But when you study, you are studying to not just to memorize, but to be able to have a free thought and flow of the information that you are receiving. And to be able to do that means that before that lecture, you will read that subject. You must. So when you get into the class, that's what they do, open access. You have open access. The lectures are all uploaded. That's why they give you open access. So you go and you read that lecture. And if you are smart enough, that means you should be about 2 or 3 weeks ahead of the class. 2 or 3 weeks ahead. So as the lectures are coming, you're able to link. And in the American way of teaching, they will tell you at the end of the lesson, of the class, this is your learning point. They will be to be there at the beginning. So you know what the students should know, this. So it's for you to shoot ahead. You know, so in the lecture, those who have studied, what you are doing, it's you have your note already taken from when you are reading, and you are checking them, you are emphasizing them. All right. So what you are getting in the lecture is a second mention. That is a confirmation. That's the way actually God should. If you are working with God, that's the way it should be. Because when you are in the fellowship, the things that I'm going to say now are things that God must have told you personally. In those days when, you know, even now, you know, so I'm in the meeting, Piatin is speaking, but they make all those guys, you know, as they are speaking, there are things that God has told me. So it's a confirmation of, and he's telling me I'm not hearing wrong. You understand? So even when I come now, God tells me some things, I hear things, I come and I'm sharing the body, I'm in the songs, in the exhortations, I'm looking for certain things, confirmations, you know, of what God has given to me, so I know it's for the body. There are some things that are not yet, so we'll keep it until when this time. Alright? So that is your reading. Then after the class, all you need is about 30-40 minutes to go over those materials again. So you are now reinforcing. In other words, you are looking for the ones you didn't remember. That means after the class, before you even read, you have another small note where you write down the ones you can remember. So when you go back to the text, you are looking for the ones you couldn't remember. So you are reinforcing them. The next time you come back to that subject, you don't just go and start reading. First of all, you do what you call recall. So you do recall, memorizing, and recall again. So you're always recalling what you have read, and you are reinforcing. So you are building up your knowledge base. So by the time you are, you know, when exam is coming, and the way exams are, the way the teaching style here is meant to, you know, it's patterned after those who have worked. That's why I have continuous assessments all the time. You know, it's to make sure that you are always, you know, working. You know, so it's something that you have to walk into your schedule, you know, and study. And that's why I have study groups. The study groups also give you that platform. Yeah, two or three, you can, you know, recall, you know. You can set tests and grade yourselves and all that. So these are small tips that bring out the best in you. So it's not just you want to read 4 hours. I've read for 4 hours, you just read through. How much can you recall? It's only what you recall that you can give in the exam. So if you have an oral exam, the same thing. Practicals and others. So those are just the basis of so of course didn't know that, and we're not doing very well. You know. But when God began to teach that to us, then you see that the, you know, so yeah, all the natural abilities, they come out to the fore, and then the Bible says you be the head and not the tail. Amen. You know, so the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of excellence.
Hallelujah.
You know, to be the head and not the tail. God open the doors, open, and you blast through. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that's it's just part of the ministry. Hallelujah. So we're looking at Matthew 7. Where are we now? 7:24. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And what did he say? Great was the fall of it. You know. So it gives us two tracks: hearing, and then hearing and doing. In other words, you are hearing to do. So Jesus said in John 7, he says, you will know of my doctrine if you will walk in it. You know, so it's a whole, it's a world of difference where we just want to hear the word, you know, as different from when we want to do the word. And because we want to do, we have an attitude, a right attitude, you know. When we just want to hear, we are picking and choosing. Say, this one is good for me, this one is not good for me, and all that, and, you know. So it doesn't produce the right fruit. You know. So there is a foundation, a solid foundation that we need to lay as believers. The other scripture, it's Luke 17. We're just trying to introduce. We are going back to the tabernacle. I just want to introduce our thought pattern, and then we'll shoot into that. Luke 17. And when he was 17:20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said unto them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, and lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is where?
Within
you. That is not to say that you know what God's work is just within. There, of course, there is the outward expression. You know, but the principle is God works within, with a man, so that with that man he can influence the outward, like we are trying to do with the outreach. Fantastic, very good. You know, so but it brings something very clear about the kingdom. You know, so if there's a kingdom within, then you are speaking about a law. You are speaking about principle. You are speaking about, you know, God's mind and the way things should be done within the kingdom. Now, in speaking about the kingdom within, I'm focusing on this kingdom within, establishing of the kingdom, giving it a proper base. Let's flip over to Proverbs to get a little focus also. Proverbs 4. I will counsel you to spend time in Proverbs. Spend time in it. And like I said, there's one for each day. Today is what? 20, is it 16? So Proverbs 16 will be very good lunch. You already had breakfast. So when you're eating your lunch, try and just spend 10 minutes on Proverbs 16. Read it and pray it into your life. Amen. Amen. Because the food you're eating is for the outward man. How about the man inside? Amen.
Amen.
So there are dimensions. There is the outward man, the body. You know, we will see it in a minute. There is the body. The body eats food. And the Bible says man shall not live by bread alone. Alright, so when you eat bread, it's for your body. How about the man within? The real man. Amen. So the real man, and Paul prayed the prayer. He said, I pray that you might be strengthened with might. Where? In the inward man. You know, so as you're having your breakfast, having your lunch, having your dinner, you must spare thought, for feeding the inward man. You know, so that your body will not be healthy, and then within you are kwashokod. You are malnourished. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and we will see in a minute that we need to reverse the order. You know, we have been a body people. Hallelujah. But the Bible says when the man dies, what happens to the body? The body goes down. Amen. The spirit that God gave goes back to God. The soul goes for judgment. So you need to spend time building up that soul. Amen. Building it. You know, so if you come to Proverbs 4:7, it says, let's start from 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. So wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. And with all you are getting, get understanding. Amen. Say, exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring to thee honor when thou dost embrace her. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So we'll be looking at how we can strengthen the inward man, how we can, you know, bring wisdom, bring understanding. You know, wisdom and understanding belong to those who are matured. You know, so we're speaking about moving on to maturity, you know, at growing, infancy, coming into a place of deeper knowledge and interaction and knowledge of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the next scripture is Jeremiah 31. Well, I said this one is our national anthem. That's my the way I express it. Because in this scripture, from verse 31, in this scripture, it brings the old and the new together. You know, so, and gives us the basis of the covenant. And, you know, God will not do anything unless He makes a covenant. So, He must make a covenant. And that covenant is about a people, His relationship with the people. And the basis of that relationship with the people is the temple. In Israel, the center of their life was the temple and the worship, the three feasts that we talked about on Sunday. You know, so say three times in the year, everybody must go to the temple. You know, so it says when you are bringing your offering, you cannot just bring your offering, you must bring it in the place that God has chosen. Amen. And in that place, there is a covenant. God made a covenant with these people. You know, so you have a covenant, you have the temple, they have the priest, the priesthood, and they have the, you know, the offerings that are made. So those principles, they work together to give a basis. So in this place, it speaks about, it says, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." So if there's a new, then there must have been an old. Amen. You know, so there are two covenants. And it is possible that somebody can be walking in the old covenant in the dispensation of the new. Amen. Do you understand that? You know, this is the time of the new, but I'm still walking by the old. Hallelujah. It's not only to us. It happened in those days, isn't it? So those early Christians who got born again, what were they were only preaching to the Jews. They meet you say, "Are you from Israel?" Say, "You're not." He said, "This gospel is not for you." So they were looking for those who were, you know, until Paul said, "Look, this is based on what God is showing me. That this is a new thing that God is doing." See, God says He will raise again the tabernacle of David that's fallen down, that all the residue of the world might flow into it. So anywhere He went, the gospel was for all. Jesus says that this gift is for all, as many as will come to the Lord. You know, so it was a transition. They began to, the old began to give way, and the new broke into effect. And many of the brethren, they say, "No, even if you are born again, you must go and circumcise and keep the law of Moses." You know, so you always have that interplay, you know, of the old and the new. We're trying to bring the new old into the new, and it needs to be properly divided. So it says, "I'll make a covenant." Say, "Not according to the covenant that I made with your fathers, in the day that I took them from the out of Egypt," verse 33, "but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord." Now that's what I'm going to say. "I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it where? In their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now it comes to a deeper level. "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. I'll forgive their iniquity." You know, so this was something new. It was different from what had happened in the past. What was the old? You know, in the old, there was the tabernacle, it's up there, you know, and then there was the priests. You know, among those who brought ministry, there were two groups. You had the Levites. If you remember, when they were sharing, they said that the portion of the Levite is the Lord. So they didn't give them any land, It's just that they picked out certain cities and they gave to the Levites and the suburbs, you know, for their cattle and so on. All right. So their portion was the Lord. And out of the Levites, there were those who were sons of Aaron. And those who were sons of Aaron were the priests. So when you look at the tabernacle, the first portion, where you have the altar and the laver, form what they call the outer court. Now, the outer court was a general common pool. Everybody had access. Jesus had access. So if you were born in Israel, you had access to the outer court. Even the Levites had access. But the inner court, okay, where you have the lampstand, the table of showbread, and the golden altar, that inner sanctuary, was only for the sons of Aaron, those who are priests. So you can see that there is a thinning down. And then the holiest of all, the most holy place, was only one man that had access. And he had it only on one day in the year, the Day of Atonement. Amen. You know, but Hebrews 9 says, and Hebrews 10 says, that Jesus is our own high priest, that he has made for us a new and living way into the presence of God, because he broke through that veil. Okay, so on the day Jesus died, that veil cut into two, and he had access. In other words, if we are anyone who comes into Christ, automatically has an access. You know, so the basis of our faith is relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's why the devil is attacking the personality of Christ. They're trying to discredit the scripture, say he was not a virgin birth, there was not even a Jesus, he was a phantom. He's doing everything because that is the foundation. Amen. Amen. So he is the head. And the Bible says that we all, as a body, were fitly joined to the head. Amen. Amen. You know, so in our relationship, we're not just saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Why is all about Jesus? That he is the head. You know, and every man joins. So in Christ, I have access. You know, I of myself, there is nothing in me that merits anything. So it's not just I'm trying to be humble by saying it's only Jesus. That is the reality. Amen. Without Jesus, I'm nowhere. So he's all and in all. Hallelujah. You know. So the power of that priesthood is so much that, you know, he came and, you know, I will cast it to look at Hebrews. Spend time in Hebrews. You know, so he came at that one sacrifice. He said, by one sacrifice, he has perfected forever. You know, like the brother was saying this morning, I'm not, you know, my contention with the devil is not that I'm going to beat the devil. No, no. Christ has already beaten the devil. He said, heaven's point, principalities and powers. He made a show, a public show. It's just that the man is a rascal. You have knocked in that, I say, I'm not agreeing, I won't agree. Amen. Amen. So if you want to, you come and get it. That is the contention. Amen. Not that he knows that he has a beast, he said, but you, do you know? You know. So our contention is to enforce, to say yes, that I'm bringing the victory of Christ in my life. That in my life, Christ must reign. So it's not that I'm going to die on the cross anymore. I'm not. He has already done it. It's a finished work. Hallelujah. Amen. You know. So the priesthood and centrality of Christ cannot be. You know. And every day in your walk, it must rank high. High and high and high. That Christ is the central. So you must understand that priesthood of Christ. And your own priesthood flows from it. As I submit to Christ, I have more authority to exercise the priesthood of Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, so Jeremiah 31 is key and central. You know, so even Jesus did not enter the holy place. According to Hebrews 9, because Hebrews 9 says that his own tribe was not mentioned. It was from the tribe of Judah, of which nothing was said after the old priesthood. You understand? So there was an old priesthood of Aaron. And in that priesthood, there was only one man, Aaron. For you to be a priest, you have to be a son of Aaron. So you can see me and you do not have any. You know, Ephesians say we are foreigners outside of the commonwealth of Israel without no hope. Amen. Forever condemned. The Bible said that he broke the wall of partition. Hallelujah. So he came and he brought a new priesthood. Hallelujah. And he called it the priesthood of Melchizedek. Amen. So that's what he's talking about. So you must understand our priesthood, that the fact that you can bring an offering to God is the fact that you have a covenant. That's why I say you will be my God and I will be. You know, so the thing is, you have to determine, you have to choose. You must settle it that you have a God. There are two different things though. Some people are born again but they don't have a God. It may look like, but that is the truth. Because when you have a God, then you must bow your knee to him. Hallelujah. So it says, Paul said, if you 2 Corinthians 4 say, we preach Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ the Lord. And you can see it flows. The outer court experience is that place. Jesus means you shall call him Jesus because he shall bring salvation to us. Amen. So there are a lot of people who are enjoying that salvation of Christ. I'm born again. Fine. But that's not all the story. There is a Christ. There is the place of the anointing. Amen. And that is the second compartment. That's where you have the lampstand. You know, the anointing of the Spirit and the revelation of the Word by the Spirit. Amen. And then that brings into a communion, the place where you offer your soul. You know, it's a higher dimension. But that's not even all. There is now the full place of lordship. You know what's a lord? In modern time, we don't understand what lordship means. We don't. You need to have lived under a kingdom. They say someone is lord. Lord means you have no opinion. You say, I like. You don't like anything. I want. You don't want anything. That is, you don't speak until you are asked to speak. And even when you speak, what you speak is of no consequence. The word of the king is law. Do you have that kind of relationship? Eh? I want. I am fair. I. Amen. So there is a place of lordship where you begin to walk with the Lord as Lord. He is your Lord. The lordship of Christ. Hallelujah. It's an offering. You know, it's a place where you come by choice. Say, I submit to you. Amen. I want to be a lawyer, but God says you should be a cleaner. How about that? I like this. I like this boy. He's very tall. God says, you're a short one, you're going to marry. He runs into different things. I remember a brother, he went and started to be read law. He struggled. God said, my friend, that's not my plan for you. He quit the law program. Because he knew this was me. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will. Have you come to that place where you see the two? Amen. He said, I have my life to live. Yes. So you have the way you want to go, but God has his own direction. And you have a clash of wills. Hallelujah. Who will win? Amen. You know, so we see that conflict, you know, in our walk with him. You know, and what helps, you know, to come to that place of peace. In fact, actually, we don't have time to talk about in the offerings. There were five types of offering that were brought. The highest offering was the peace offering. You know, when they bring the peace offering, they bring the liver, the fat, and the liver, the inward, the most precious part. It's different from a sin offering. A sin offering means, you know, there is a sin, and usually it's the flesh. You burn the flesh, you know, and all that. But the sin, the peace offering is not. It's not. You're not coming to God because you have sinned. It's more like the thanksgiving, but they were for a higher dimension. It's a consecration of the highest order. You say, Lord, I bring my life all to Jesus. I surrender. You know, surrender means my ideas, my likes, the idols, those rooms you have. You know, there are some rooms that have not been opened. You say, Jesus, this one, you can't enter this one. It's for me. So when you come to that place, you say, Lord, I open every door to you. You know, every, you say, all my springs are in you. Hallelujah. You know, so we are speaking of that place where everything is on the table. And all the doors are open. You know, somebody say it was a foot mat. So we are made the upscoring of the earth. You understand? Paul came to that place. The best of the best, the best of the lawyers. It's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. You know, he was the youngest in the Sanhedrin. I mean, he had everything. And he says, whatever was gained for me, he said, I have suffered it loss, counted it dung for Christ. Hallelujah. You know, in our experience today, we need to come to that place where Christ is all and in all. You know, so Jeremiah 31 is taking us into this higher place, higher walk. You know, so the Old Testament, the law was written on a table. It was external. Everything was external. You know, and he's saying here that the people, they couldn't address the problem. So God says, in fact, let's go to Hebrews 8 and read it properly. Let's go to Hebrews 8 and read why he had to change it. Because God changed, removed the old and brought the new. So you as a believer, you cannot walk in the old because God had changed it. You know, if you walk in the old, you'll be shortchanging yourself. You must walk in the new. So we must make a clear decision of the old. I'm coming to the new order. Hallelujah. We can't read too much because of time, but let's start from 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, but how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Amen. So you have to understand clearly in your walk with God that yes, you can the first laws, do this, mechanical, you know, fellowship, praise the Lord, do this. That's okay, it's fine. Yes, that's a starting point. But we must transit. We must come into the new. Because God has set aside the old. Amen. Verse 8. Say, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Not according to, we read all that. Verse 10. Say, for this is the covenant that I will make, that I will put my laws where? Mine. You see it there in the board? Uh-huh. So that's where it begins. So, in the tabernacle, it was given. It was a law. It was written. And for them, it was a ceremony. You bring the bull. And as you are dragging the bull, he's kicking, making noise, shouting. Because he knows it's his life. Who wants to die? Is anybody who wants to die in this place? But the bull is you. Amen. Don't you understand? That bull you are carrying is you. The bull was representing their life. That's why he says that when they bring the bull, they must lay their hands on the bull. What are they doing? They're identifying. They say, this is my life. Even now, when you go in your village, you see that tree. The day you were, when you were born, they cut something and they went and planted it. And nobody must cut that tree. If they cut the tree, you start feeling pain somewhere. Am I talking rubbish? Oh, if you don't know. Okay. Alright. Okay. Alright, so of course, though. They see that tree is your life. And some people, they bring the goat, see that goat, that's your life, is not a goat. That's a different dimension. Amen. Hallelujah. So, so there's a reality, you know, that we're speaking of. So the high priest, you know, breaks all that barrier. You know, so in the high priest will have an access into the fullness of God. Hallelujah. That's why without Jesus I am nothing. I am nowhere. Amen. You know, so it says, I will put my law in the mind and write them. How do you write something? Try and write something. There's an effort. I hope you know, there are handwritings in the mind, and God said He will erase it. There's a law of sin and death written, engraved. Amen. Bible calls it the image of the beast. I think it's deep down. That's why God said, I will also go in that deep down, and I will erase it, and I will write my law. Hallelujah. You know, when you are in a place like Canada, where I see you guys, when you drive, you come to the stop four ways, you know, you stop. Nobody is there. Eh? You stop. Do you know why you stop? 10,000 Canadians. If there was no law, nobody would stop there. I'm telling you. You look, nobody in your pass. Do you know why? Because the law has not been written. Amen. So, the law of man is different from the law of God. Eh? Okay, let's just run quickly to Romans 2. Yeah, let's just read it quickly. And then we'll come back. You just read Romans 2, 14 and 15. You know? Because some of us have problems with some of these questions. They say, oh, how about this and that? We are talking about the law. Look at verse 12. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For no, Romans 2. I mean 13 now. 14. Sorry, it's like, how was I? It's like I was reading the wrong place. Yeah, right. And I started from verse 12. Romans 2:12. And now I'm in 13. So for the hearers of the law are just, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Now, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are what? A law unto themselves. Look at the real law of God, verse 15. Wish you walk the work of the law, what? Written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing. Amen. So it's telling us that there are two dimensions of law. There is the outward man law. You know, and may I say, there is also the outward man worship, where our fellowship is just at this natural, you know, bro. You know, but when bro is not there, we now go to the real law. Amen. So, in other words, the real law is that which is the inward. You know? So when I come to fellowship, why am I here? You see that they won't say Tobey didn't come to fellowship today. I don't want anybody to disturb me. And I mean should read quickly. So they say, bro, where did you read fellowship? Did you read today? They say I read. You know? So the things that we do, why do you do them? In other words, what is the motivation? So you are climbing to higher stairs. Amen. So he's saying that the Gentiles, yes, they didn't help Jesus. But in their dispensation, God judges them by a higher law. But that time is gone. Now you know the word. Now you have heard. Amen. So he says, I'm going to bring you into a higher dimension, a new work. I said, I'm going to put my law where? In the heart. In the inward man. Hallelujah. So the New Testament deals with the inward. It's God's work with you. The inward is you, who you are. You have a body to serve you. Amen. You have a spirit to hear God, to relate to the heavens. Hallelujah. So God created a beautiful, you know, house, dwelling realm for himself. And he called it soul. You know, so that with the body, the soul walks and manifests on the earth. And with the spirit, he manifests and walks in the spirit. Amen. So you have those three dimensions. Let's move on to First Peter. First Peter 1:9. First Peter 1:9. It says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and said diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. You know, so the end of our faith is not just the forgiveness of our sins, but the salvation of the soul. And that is where because he says in the new covenant, I'm going to put my law in that soul. I'm going to write it. So that the law of God, if I call it the law of the spirit of life in Christ, it begins to rule over the mind, have dominion over the mind. Hallelujah. Now, the mind is not a very small thing. The education people will tell you, you know, when you study, by the way, the Greeks have studied the mind, but they failed to realize that by searching, by studying, you cannot find out all that God has done. Amen. You know, so there is the natural mind. We're not discussing the natural mind. So those who are in psychology know that. So it's not talking about psychology. We're looking at the creation of God, that working, that thing that God has created, which comes by the revelation of the Spirit. Amen. So it's not by intellect, because the intellect is just one part of the conscious mind is a very small part of what the mind is. You know, when you sleep, what happens to your mind? It goes to sleep. Does your mind go to sleep when it's So what about that aspect? You know? So the salvation is for the whole man. Every part of it. Hallelujah. You know? And the scriptures tell us that the soul has four realms, four dimensions. And there are several people who, in the scripture, who began to have that revelation, who God began to open it. And one of those young men is a man called Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a priest, a young man like you and me. He was the son of a priest. But he was taken into captivity in Babylon. You know, so your ability to work with God has nothing to do with your circumstance. Whether you're in captivity, or you're a student, or you're this, or you're that. So why I was among the captives? Can you imagine a man that is out of his land? You know, it's his subjugation. His, you know, his environment is tormented. But in the midst of that, he was able to rise to touch heaven. Amen. So in your experience here, you should be able to. There's no excuse. You should be able to. You know, there's a place in God where you can touch heaven and the revelations of God. You know, if you look at the book of Revelation, chapter 1, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, with God get to Jesus Christ. So even Jesus had to have a revelation of the Christ. Hallelujah. You know, so it's not something that is by reading. You know, there's a place where the heavens begin to break upon you. And you say, I saw visions of God. You begin to, you see, you know. And that takes us beyond that mechanical fellowship. We have fellowship, you know, your relationship with God is by rules and regulations. So I'm struggling. This Christian life is so difficult. Hey, bro, come and help me now. Pray for me. It's so hard to obey God. Amen. There's a place beyond that. Hallelujah. Where is your life? Where is the relationship? Amen. You're not struggling to be a Christian. Amen. Paul said, the life I now live, I live but by the faith. Hallelujah. See, he said, it's not me that liveth, but what? That Christ that liveth in me. It's a place of rest. May we come into our rest in the name of Jesus. You know, where we love him. You know, and because we love him, everything is given. We lay down all. We can give him all. So we love him because he first loved us. You know. And John says, we have known and believed the love that God has. Have you come to that place? Where you know the love of God. And then you believe it. Hallelujah. It's a place of rest. Yeah. Hallelujah. Where I know the love of God. I am convinced of it. Amen. So if things don't work out, I know he loves me. Amen. Even if they say, if I say, there is a, say, even if the mountains be removed, is it not? Say, underneath are what? The everlasting hands. Hallelujah. Say, there is a river that make it glad. City of God. Hallelujah. You know, so it's a place, not struggle, but a place of rest. You know, where, you know, where we have known the Father. You know, so I'm speaking about this salvation of the soul. You know, the, you know, where the soul comes into a covenant with God, where he has inscribed. So I was speaking about this young man Ezekiel. You know, he saw the visions of God. You know, God began to show him the dimensions of man. You know, so it's something that you need to look at in your time as you seek the Lord, as you seek to move, you know, to grow, you know, in knowledge and in grace and in your walk. You know, so he showed him four living creatures. One was shaped like a bird. The other one shaped like a lion. The other one shaped like A face of a man, and then and then you see those the same pictures repeated in the book of Revelation, because they say four living creatures, so we understand that it speaks of the soul, the redeemed soul, it speaks of, the Bible uses is a book of types. I don't know if you know about types. God uses something to speak about another one. For example, God says, "Do not muzzle the ox that treads the corn." Have you heard that scripture? 1 Corinthians 9. He said, "Does God care for ox?" So it's a type. God speaks in types and shadows. He says a man went forth, a sower went forth to sow. Is it not? And he had seed. And he began to sow. He says the seed is the word. The field at the heart of men. So you find it all over. So when you're looking at something like the tabernacle, it's using your common day experience to speak of spiritual truth. Amen. And that is the depth of the word. Amen. Because as you grow, the word grows. Don't you understand? Amen. So you see that revelation is progressive. For example, it says there was a young man. He saw water issuing out from the temple. And he said he walked 1,000 cubits. The water came to his ankle. He walked a little bit again. The water came to his knees. He walked a little bit again. He came to his loins. And of course, the next dimension was like a river. It began to flow. And so he's speaking of the temple. And we are the temple. Don't you understand? So in our walk with God, it's progressive. You can't force it. A man can only walk in the light that he has seen. Amen. So that actually brings us to the next scripture I'm going to look at. A man can only try to relate his experience, but you must go and buy your own oil. So let's look at Matthew 25. The need for experience with God, the need for a walk with the Master, the need for a personal relationship. They need, to have. He said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." Amen. Now, when we know from Scripture that the bridegroom is speaking of Christ, then who is the bride? But the word of God comes in different dimensions. So church is one dimension. That's at the realm of the congregation. But the congregation, it has an individual component. Who is individual component of the congregation? Who are you? Amen. So who are you? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can see Christ is coming for the bride. Yes, there is a corporate experience, and also there is the individual. Amen. And to emphasize it, he says, "And five of them were what? Wise. And five were foolish." Amen. So you can see, the two arms, foolish and wise. And they that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. So again, we're looking at types. What is a lamp? What does the Bible say? Well, scripture interprets scripture. When you are studying, you must look for scripture to interpret scripture. And you must look for the Spirit to shed light. The Bible says the letter kills, isn't it? But the Spirit gives life. Amen. You say the spirit quickeneth, the flesh, you know, doesn't profit. You know, so you're looking at. Let's read. To just get a definition of the lamp there. Proverbs 20 tells us something that may shed light. What is speaking about the lamp? 20:27. So the spirit of man is the lamp. Actually, when you look at the real translation, it says lamp. Okay, but it's the same concept. Searching all the inward parts of the belly. Belly again also refers to the soul. You know? So, the spirit of man. So, if you permit me, I'll just take a break and do this. So, if this is the soul, this is the heart of the soul. Heart means core, doesn't, nothing more. When you study it, when you say the heart of something, it just means the core of it. Okay, so the core of the soul, this is the mind, this is the emotion, this is the desire, and then this is the will. So these are the four realms of the soul. Okay? And where they meet, we will therefore be the core, the heart. Okay? Now the soul has the spirit, the human spirit. The soul also has a body. It lives in a body. These two will detach. When the man dies, this detaches to the earth. And Ecclesiastes tells us that when the man dies, this goes back to God that gave it. So the spirit of man is in fellowship with the spirit of God. Bible says the spirit of God bears witness. And then you have the Son of God. So I said there are three that bear witness in heaven. And then you have the Father. So you can see there are three dimensions of God and three dimensions of man. Because the Bible says God created man in his own image and likeness. So God comes to us in three dimensions. You see that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. See, there are three that bear witness in heaven. Okay, and there are three that bear record on earth. The things that bring the life of God, that bring the witness of God into us, our soul, see, is the water, the blood, and the spirit. There are three. Amen. And as we go through the tabernacle, you see those three dimensions speaking. But so this is the man, the soul. And the scripture tells us that the mind is shaped like an eagle. So it's shaped like a bed. And the will is like an ox, stubborn. So the sparrow has found the nest, and so on and so, but there is no mind. Amen. We'll come to it. So you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. The emotion is like the nature of the lion. So this is we're quoting Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel 10, Ezekiel 19, Revelation 4, 5, and actually to the end. You see it, all this, being brought in. And then he said the desire is like, it has the face of a man. But this man is a fallen man. Adam fell. So there is a fallen nature. So that nature is an earthbound nature. You know, the other day we were reading about, he said anything that has multiple legs, that is earthbound, you shouldn't eat it. You know, so these are some things that you need to look at and study. But so when you look at that picture, the spirit, it says, is the candle. So let me write. I say, oh, they were the lamp. So he describes this as the lamp. So he says, the lamp of the Lord. In other words, the Spirit of God empties into or strengthens, quickens the spirit of man. And then this, therefore, will be the vessel, or what he calls the belly. So the oil is the oil in the soul, the character, the life of Christ. The life, the oil represents the life of Christ. Is the oil, say, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, so it's the life of Christ in us that works out the nature of Christ in our character. You know, so he talks about the different fruits of the Spirit. Let's look at, I can't remember that scripture where it says, you will love the Lord thy God with all your heart. I think it's in Matthew 22. Is it 22? Okay, 22, 37. Mm-hmm, thank you. You know, so he says, the man came to him and said, Master, he says, what is the great commandment in the law? And he told him, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all the mind. He said, this is the first and the great commandment. And the second, he says, you love your neighbor as yourself. You know, so we are looking at this New Testament, this dealing of God in the inward part, God's dealing in the heart, God's dealing with the mind. The mind is the chief part of the soul. Let's look at another scripture, Romans 12. Romans 12. What does it say? Romans 12, 1 and 2, essentially. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye metamorpho. The Greek word there, those who read biology, you know what metamorphosis is? Metamorpho, that means change. Okay, you're driving along Pembina, all of a sudden you see beautiful building. When was it built? When they were building it, they had a scaffold that covered it. You didn't see it. But one day it was presented. So that's what is going on. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know? So God is doing a work. but it's not, you know. But there will be, it says that when he shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. You know, so there is a work God is doing, and a time is coming for the invoke. Sometimes, when circumstances come, that glory manifests. Amen. Sometimes you don't even know you have strength to go through some circumstances until you get into it. Then you begin to see the strength, the treasures that God has built in. But there are certain important things that he's speaking here. He's speaking about the transformation by the renewing of the mind. So he's saying the mind has to be renewed, has to be changed, you know, has to be transformed. Transformation, metamorphosis means stage by stage, level by level, glory by glory. Amen. You know, so it speaks of a walk. The change and the glory that is coming, it's a daily walk. Our walk. We live in a time, an instant age. Do you have instant coffee? You know, 3-in-1. Everything is there. Just get the water, pour it, and the coffee is ready. That's the age we live. Instant world, jet age. And it affects our walk with God. You see, as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth. Amen. So there is a place of walking with God. You know, Adam walked with God. I was not. Sorry, Enoch. He walked with God. I was not. You know. So a walk speaks of a relationship. And the relationship is not a one night vigil stand. I fasted for one day, everything is finished. Amen. It's a walk with God. You know, daily. You know. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like praying. You don't feel like coming to fellowship. But you have to walk with God. Amen. So sometimes you are down in the valley, you have to walk with God. Sometimes you may not even have money to come to fellowship. Have you been there before? Nothing. Everything is nothing. 00. I am hoping for 001. Amen. But God is still good. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's evening and morning. You know, even when it is, don't walk well. Hallelujah. Because it's a walk. It's a walk with God. Hallelujah. So there is a place for the transformation of the mind, you know, and that's what the tabernacle is of. Therefore, you know, it shows us the beginning of that work with God, when God begins to change the mind, put His law in the inward part. As you present, you know, the more you present, the more, you know, He imprints. We'll see that thought again in another scripture, 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. Actually, the whole chapter is a chapter about the new and the old. It's speaking about the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant and the new covenant. You can see, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of men, epistle of Christ, ministered by the Spirit, and so on and so on. But he said, He has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But look at, say, but if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stone, were glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look or behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance. With glory. You know, our brother was speaking about the glory of Elisha. You understand? You know? Elisha was an Old Testament prophet that walked by the principles of the new. Isaiah was also in that class. You know, they were in the old, but their vision was so strong, they could see You know, David was also in that place. David saw the tabernacle of David beyond that of Moses, you know, which is where we are now. Amen. You know, so in Christ there is no barrier. All this outer court is broken. We can have access into the Father. Hallelujah. But this was a man in that, he had, his vision was so true, he could see. You know. And what I'm trying to do is to bring and broaden our vision. We need to see right into the heart of God, you know, the riches that He has for us. Amen. Hallelujah. So, where were we now? So it says, if the ministration, verse 8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? So he's saying that the new is far surpassing compared with the old. Even though the old has so much glory, can you imagine a man like Moses? There was light emanating from him. Amen. So he had to put something, he had to wear something over his face. That happened in Azusa Street. So the people ministering then, those brethren, they had to put something over their face because the glory was so much. But we are going somewhere, amen. Hallelujah. We are even going beyond. You know. So for if the ministration or condemnation and so on, okay. For even that verse 10, which was made glorious, had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that is select. 11, for if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then, verse 12, that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, who put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But verse 14, that's where my game starts. But their minds were blinded. Do you understand that? See, there's something in the mind of man. There is something. There is a veil. Hallelujah. You know, and that's the work of the new, to break that veil. Hallelujah. And the light of Christ begins to shine. You know, the Bible said that the light of the righteous, the path of the just, is like what? A shining light that shines what? Brighter and brighter. So I have hope that I'm in my walk today, where I am today, one way from today, you come there, you'll not see me because I have moved further. Amen. You know, if you are going to meet me 1 month from now, I would have gone further. Amen. So every day is a glorious day because it's a day to receive more glory. Amen. So my walk with God is not, I'm not struggling. Hey, the world is so difficult. Oh my God, have mercy on me. Oh God, can I enjoy the world a little bit? Oh my God, I love nothing like that. Hallelujah. Because there is a glory. Hallelujah. And this is the glory. When you see the glory of His face, every day you are excited to be alive. Hallelujah. Because you are going to go into more glory. You are going to, it's that the lie, we are going to see it. You know, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Which veil is done away in Christ? Hallelujah. So he's saying this veil is addressed to the extent that we have a revelation of Christ. There is a revelation of Christ. Even John himself, he had a revelation of Jesus Christ. And when he saw him, he was slain. You know, when Christ comes, the man in us will be slain. You know, that which is of man, I, the ambitions, the veil, the plans, is slain by that glory. Hallelujah. So you are a man like, you know, you see a man like Paul, or Peter, they were changed. Peter was a man that he denied Christ. But look at him later. Say, ye hard-necked, stiff-necked people. Ah, they say, this man. See, they took notice that he had been with Jesus. Don't you understand? So he had done something to them. So as you are here, Christ is there to change your personality, strengthen you. So you can face. He said, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen. So when you face the challenges, you are not coming to the challenges by your strength. I am coming against those things by the Christ that strengthens me. So man say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Do you know the strength of Christ? And like he said, if Christ be for us, who can be against us? So of course we are rascal, we use it to terrorize the unbeliever, because we knew who was, you know. So I should run around my class where I tell them, you know, let's do that. You know, so there is a boldness that he gives to you to face the challenges. Because it's not of him that will it, of him that run it, but it's of the Lord that showeth mercy. Hallelujah. So it's all within. It's that outworking of your relationship. Amen. So it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Okay, so say their minds were verse 16. Say, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Say, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. True liberty is intimacy with the Lord. Amen. When you come to that place of intimacy, you know the Lord sets you free. But it's a perfect love has no fear. Amen. When you are one with him, there is no, you know. David was, he had such intimacy with God. He said, Lord, thou knowest my thoughts. You know? Are you there with God? That's, you know my thoughts. Say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Amen. You know, so it's a place of intimacy, you know, and walk with the Lord. Verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Guess what? Are changed into the same image. So when you are born again, you haven't seen all the glory. No. You haven't seen all the glory. Amen. Even Paul says, I do not count myself to have apprehended. This guy, he went to the third heaven, he's done everything, and he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, I press on to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a high calling. Amen. And it's a step from glory, you know, to glory. So we are changed into the same image from glory by the Spirit. So we sing that song, not by might, not by power, but by, you know. So the Spirit brings change. We also see that the Word brings the change. So that automatically brings us into the holy place, the place of change. The reception is the outer court. So our work as Christians in the outer court should be a temporary thing. And to ensure that, the Bible says that the outer court is given to the Gentiles. That means worldliness is coming to the outer court. That's what we see in the church today. You know? The Gentiles are, their philosophies, their ways, their patterns, everything, they have encroached into the world. So much that the church has become worldly. And the world has become churchy. Everybody in River State is born again. Everybody in Nigeria is born again. All the governors are born again. Everybody is a child of God. Children of God, let's praise God. Have you been there before? Yes. So nobody needs to be born again because they are all born again. We are believers. Even Catholic people are not born again. Everybody, most of them, they are doing crusade. Everybody is born again. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is not where we are supposed to be. Amen. So there is a door here. Guess who is the door? Jesus is the door. He's the quality control. Amen. You want to go in? He must come to me. Say, I am the door into the ship. Hallelujah. So here you have, there are five pillars representing the ministry. Alright? But here there are, how many now? There are four pillars representing the tribulation. So you see, we must enter into the kingdom through much tribulation. But to come into the kingdom, you go through the ministry. Yeah. So there are ministry he has set to bring the sheep in, into the sheepfold. So this will be the sheepfold. Amen. Now, when you go to Hebrews 9, Hebrews 9 does not even discuss outer court. He talks about the, he calls it the sanctuary. He calls this the sanctuary. So the tabernacle is not an Old Testament thing. It is, it runs through. Because it's a, an apostolic, it's a true and true foundation in the church. You know. So Hebrews 9 talks about the sanctuary and the most holy place. And in that sanctuary, there are two, the Spirit and the Word. The table of shewbread is the place of the Word, the breaking of the bread. Not the letter, but the breaking. That the quickened, revealed Word of God that He feeds. But Jesus is also the Word. So how does that work? You know? So Jesus say, Jesus is the Word. You know? So He is the Word as a person. Hallelujah. So you feed on Him. Amen. Amen. The Christ is also in you. And He's also in you. Hallelujah. So when we come together, there is the ministry of Christ. Amen. In our midst. Hallelujah. And then He Himself is also here in our midst walking. Yes. And He Himself is also in me. Hallelujah. So you can see the three dimensions of Christ fully walking in the midst, you know. So the church of God is not it's not something that is contrived by man. It is a spiritual body, and Christ is in the midst. He said, where two or three are gathered, where is He? He's here. He's here now. Amen. Amen. And He's also in me and also in you. Hallelujah. You know, so when I come, every one of us has something to give. I'm here to receive ministry from you. So if you walk in the Spirit, then you can bring life. Amen. So when we come together, we don't want man, we want to hear Christ speaking. Because there is the Christ, the voice of the bridegroom is in our midst. Hallelujah. You know, so what He was saying to you in your room, you come to fellowship and you hear it also. Because it's the same Spirit. You know, so because it's the same Spirit, we can be one. You know, the unity we have is in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So that Spirit is working, you know, to bring life. Now, how do we relate it to, I should end very soon. How do we relate it to this picture? Now, when we are born again, we receive the blood. The blood is applied. The Bible says that when He kills the beast, He must apply the blood at the four corners. So, the blood is applied in our soul. Because the Bible says it's the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And that blood comes to wash, cleanse us, and bring the life and energy of Christ into our soul. Amen. And we become quickened. We receive the life of God. We come alive. Amen. And at the same time also, Bible says our spirit is regenerated. Alright? Now, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's a different ballgame. Amen. The Bible calls it the deposit of the Spirit. You say it is a deposit of the Spirit until the purchase of the purchased possession. Hallelujah. So Christ in us is the hope of glory. But the glory is when our soul comes into Christ. So Christ comes into our soul so that he begins to bring the regions of our soul under his dominion. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see that there is a flow of life from the Father all the way into the regions of our soul. It's becoming very busy now. But the concept is that what the Bible is teaching us is that the change must come into the oil, must come into the vessel, must come into our personality. You know? So the Bible tells us Christ in us is a hope. But you see, Christ in you, you are still in control. Amen. Christ is in you, but the rudder is also in you. Amen. You know, so the Christ that comes into you must have dominion. Bring the regions of your soul under control. And that's only when Christ is all and in all. And that is what Corinthians is saying. We all with our open face, beholding his glory. Every day I'm bringing the whole of my being more and more under his control. Because he's not going to force his way into us. As we open up, he comes in. As he opens up, he comes in. I think we have to close now. You know, so what have we been saying? We're speaking about the new covenant. The new dispensation of the Spirit. You know? And that dispensation is the dispensation of the wise virgins who are receiving oil into their soul. So Christ comes into our spirit that he might bring our soul also into Christ. Amen. And this is God's plan to replicate himself, you know, to replicate himself in us. So that at the point when he's coming for his bridegroom, so he's coming for the bride will be exactly like the bridegroom. I don't know, that's the end point. Because he's not going to get married to a bride that doesn't have his nature. Amen. So he comes, Christ comes. Remember, that spirit of Christ is the spirit of adoption. Amen. So Christ comes into our soul to adopt our soul as a third heaven, as the throne of God. And that is Revelation 4 and 5. It says, they were saying, holy, holy. You know, there's a change. You know, so I'm a candidate for change. You know, I'm a candidate for change. And that change takes place, that's in the holy place. The holy place is the place of change. And then the holiest of all is the place of marriage. You know, it's a bride chamber. Esther didn't just walk and enter, did she? 6 months, she was being prepared. Another 6 months, still being prepared. The day she walked in to meet the king, she was glorious within. Amen. So there is a preparation. And, you know, and it is good for us to have the understanding that it's a dual walk. You know, as we walk with the Lord, He walks within too. You know, that, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit, you know, walking to prepare, choose a bride. You know the man about Eliezer, the story about Eliezer. Eliezer is a type of the Holy Spirit, is it not? Abraham is a type of the Father, is it not? And then Isaac is a type of Christ. But Eliezer went ahead to look for Rebecca. So you and I are like Rebecca. Amen. You know, so as we submit to the Spirit, and you see the Spirit is flowing into our soul to prepare our soul as that perfect bride. Amen.
Amen.
But you see, I can be born again and I use the Spirit to make money. Oh yes, there's somebody here now. Your eye is closed. Pray now, the eye will open. There's somebody here now with diabetes. The Lord says you are healed. You are healed now. Praise the Lord. No problem. But how about the healing of the soul? I was happy yesterday when somebody was praying. Say, Lord, we claim holiness. If you have faith, claim holiness. Claim righteousness. Claim faith. Claim obedience. Why are you only claiming Mercedes Benz and the car and the good thing? Amen. You know. So we must have a right focus. And as God strengthens us, we must reach out to bring in more people. Because this thing is too good only for ourselves. Remember the four lepers? They said, no, we cannot enjoy it only for ourselves. Let's go and tell our people that there is a feast. Amen. Amen. So they went back and declared, say, come, there is a feast. You know, so we cannot, you know. So it's a dual thing. There is a outreach and an inreach. Amen. Amen. You know, and Christ is coming to marry the soul. Say, what shall it profit a man to gain all the world and to lose his soul? Hallelujah. But you see, that soul, that bride, that inward part must be strengthened, beautified. When you get a flash, you just walk into it. You have to, you know now, you have to make it look good for you, to your taste. Christ has his own taste. So he has sent his Holy Spirit, who knows the taste, to walk in you and to prepare us a dwelling place. David says, I shall not go, I shall not rest until I find a habitation for my Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. It says, foxes have holes. The birds of the air have, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You know, he said, his lordship. Yes. When he was born, there was no room at all. But he went to an inn, a little manger. So, anybody that opens up is coming in. And he's going to lay his head to establish his authority. How would you like to be in league with America? If America becomes your support, you have a scholarship from the government of America. How would that look like? Now you have a scholarship from the government of heaven. This one is bigger than America. Amen. That's what we are speaking of. You know, when the heavens open up, brother, it's a different dimension. Hallelujah. The psalmist says, the lines are falling unto me in goodly places. Say, great is my reward in heaven. Say, thou will not leave my soul in hell.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Or suffer thy holy one to suffer corruption. We are speaking about the resurrection of the soul. Yes, it fell in Adam, but it's rising in Christ. Say, in Christ we shall all be made alive. And every man in his own order. You know, order of resurrection first is the Spirit. That's what we're saying there. At the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit is captured. The next one is the soul. Don't you understand? After that, the body will say, hey, I'm ready to go. This body can become a spirit body. It has, it's a different dimension. Jesus walked through the world. They say what? The man is there already. Hollywood is practicing it. Oh, you don't know that? Yeah, see them, they do like this, they start flying. They are trying to imitate us because they know we are coming there very soon. I am telling you, there is a new man coming. There's a glory coming. Hallelujah. Philip practiced it. Huh? I was there. Hallelujah. When Christ possesses his soul, the body will be very happy. Say, take me also. Amen. I'm dying, oh Lord. I'm ready to go. Amen. So, brethren, that is the glory we are speaking of. The glory of the New Testament. Say, the fullness. Says the fullness of the Godhead. Bodily. That the brother said today, in Christ, we are joint heirs with Christ. That's a big thing. Joint heir. Just like husband and wife are equal. I hope you know husband and wife are equal. But male and female, different role. So Christ is the head. He's the head. And we are the body. Different role, different study. Amen. So I think enough for today. So we thank God for giving us this opportunity. God will bless you for bringing us under your feet. We thank you for the glorious things you have prepared for us. Now when we were children, we were under the elements. But say you send for the spirit of your son. And we can say, Abba, Father. Bringing us to maturity in you. That we are seeing the things you have provided for us. That we can walk in it today. So that those men, that they saw the promises afar off. And they laid hold on them. And they confessed that they were pilgrims. Lord, we can say today, oh God, that the lines are falling onto us in goodly places. Thank you for the great heritage. We come today to bow the knee. We say, Lord, come and lay your head in our hearts. That our hearts and our minds is all for you, O God. We love you with all our heart. With all our soul. With all our mind. We bring our emotions, our desires, our will, our work, our career, oh God, our future. We bring all under the dominion of Christ. Let your light shine. And like the man said, that you will cause your countenance to shine upon us. You might give us peace. Lord, that you will lift up your eyes, lift up your face, lift up your grace upon us, and be gracious unto us. And Lord, you will bring us into your peace. That we will know your peace. We will know your glory. We will not just talk, but Lord, we shall partake of it. We shall walk in it. That the highway to your city will run through our hearts. We'll be part of this glorious thing you are doing. Say, O city, glorious things are spoken of thee. Such glorious things are spoken. Lord, we receive it, O God. Lord, we bring our former experiences, even our present experiences, that are out of tune with what you are saying. So bring us, O God, so cause us to be introduced to this glory that is done in and the church. That will not just be spectators, men shall be those who will walk in it. So that the highway shall be among the wayfarers. Will be among those men that walk in this high. See, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall come again into Zion with everlasting joy. Lord, may we be among these that bring, that sing, that rejoice. May we be among the redeemed of the Lord. Redeem us, O God, from every tribe, every tongue. Redeem us, O God, from our experiences. Redeem us from our dark, from the dry places. Lord, redeem us from ourselves. My God, from the familiar, from the tribal things, O God. We'll glorify your name. We bless your name. May the name of the Lord be glorified. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.